Oh, another little tidbit. I have to pull it up exactly.
Yeah.
But traditionally, Jason typically just names his title tracks whatever the date is, and then Jason.
Yeah.
But what was it? Episode. It was episode 122. He actually decided to name his title track something else, similar to what Bailey you normally do. And the effect of the Canadian coldie. So I saw that. I chuckled. And then every episode after that was just the date and Jason's name. So it was like this little, it was like this little thing just between Jason and I. That, like, oh, he'll catch this. He'll listen. I'm like, all right, good one. Good one.
That is
thanks.
Great. Welcome to episode 125 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am a murderous ogre, rar. I think I'm supposed to roar that, so I just wrote it in as rar. And I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am the cheapest dragon slayer you can find this side of a fantasy world.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I, too, like Will Smith, much more prefer the 90s.
Jason Lamb, resident Canadian. That is quite the name.
That's my legal name.
So, just so everyone knows out there, this is a retro gaming podcast. We talk about old video games, and that's all we talk about. Isn't that right, guys?
Correct.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Woo. So have you guys played any old video games lately?
Yes. I played, and I'm going to blame Hunter for this.
Good idea, always.
Oh, yes. Darn.
Damn. So I've been playing quite a bit of Quake Live this week.
Yes.
I always see you talking about it with Chris Schwartz on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to go play again. And it's pretty good. But here's where the butt comes in. Having played it for several hours this week. Here's where the butt comes in. I figured out why I still prefer Unreal Tournament.
Why is that?
Oh, okay, good.
The level design in Quake.
It's amazing.
It's,
I agree.
It's so boring.
It's boring.
Oh, it's so boring. None of the levels have personality. It's like, hey, we made this has platforms that space, bricks, and we're done. And that was okay, guys. Good. We've just brainstormed five new levels. Let's slap them together.
But you do realize that the levels in Quake are simply just killing grounds.
No, I understand.
Do you really need? Like, you give them personality by spreading the blood of your enemies everywhere. And then rocket jumping to the ceiling and hitting your head. That's how you build personality. You got to be there.
The thing, what the hell's Bailey doing? The thing I like about Unreal Tournament is each level seemed very unique. Each was very different. And there's a lot more. Oh, they're just more varied even in design. Like, they worked with a lot more levels. So, like, okay, there's a super high part of the level, and then there's a bridge, and then there's this, and then there's that. Well, Quake just kind of seems, okay, we're going to throw you in a box.
Right.
And you're going to shoot each other.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I definitely will agree with you. And even amongst the community, there are because there's something like 250 levels or something stupid like that. Yeah, and there's like a set 30, possibly 25 levels that do have those very unique characteristics in terms of like where items are placed and the way that the levels are tiered and stuff like that. And that's usually the levels that people prefer to play.
Yeah.
But with it being Quake, like they just kind of rotate. So they'll take like 20 and say, okay, for this week, this is the only 20 levels you're playing unless you create a server on your own, and then we'll swap them out for the next week, which is kind of nice, especially for newer players to kind of get a sense of the different levels that are available. Because, like, I have my favorite levels that I've got, like, kind of everything just kind of picked out, and I know what the times are for everything just because I've played this level so many times. But there's definitely levels I'll play, and I'm like, wow, this level sucks. And then, like, I'm in last place, and I'm like, yeah, this level sucks. It's not me. It's the level. Not a big fan of this level. No. So.
I was also pissed that you have to subscribe to host. So you have to pay the premium subscription fee to host. I was like, ah.
Yikes.
Damn it, Quake.
So I got lucky because I bought it when it was on sale. So it was only $17.99
for the year.
And when I, for the year, yeah.
Okay.
And then when I did that, I got one of those collectible trading cards that Steam just gives out. And I sold it for $20. So I got a whole year for free. Basically.
Nice. Yeah. So what, you got one of those like silver foil cards?
I couldn't even tell you now, man. It was so long ago. Like, I put it up, like, because it said the last one went for, because, like, when you put cards up for sale, it's like, oh, the last one went for blah, blah, blah. And it was, like, a few months ago. And I was like, it went for, like, $25. And I was like, oh, geez, $25 for this? I'll just put it up for $20. And, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I started my next match, and I got an email saying that it had been sold.
Nice.
Like, it was gone within seconds.
That's crazy.
That is.
Yeah, people are nuts about these trading cards. But, you know, whatever.
It's it's your thing. But yeah, so I was playing Quake.
Good.
What about you, Hunter?
I commend you for that.
Thanks.
I commend you for that. I'm still going through my new game new year. So I'm slowly getting to the end of my NES collection. Still playing a lot of really crappy games. The majority of them being sports games. So like the what is it? Play Action Football. That game's terrible.
That's not terrible.
That's a terrible game.
People just hate it because it's not Tecmo Bowl, but it itself is not that bad.
It's garbage.
It's not that
bad.
No, 10-yard fight.
It's
garbage.
Not that good, but it's
not bad.
Yeah, 10-yard fight's pretty bad, too.
But
I can't give that one up because it's a black butt.
Thousands.
Roger Clemens, MVP Baseball. That game's garbage.
Yep.
It's a lot of garbage.
It's like, let's take the established baseball formula on the NES and flip it on its face and be radical and different, like Roger Clemens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the result is a hot pile of barf.
What other crappy games do I play? Predator's really bad. Predator's no fun. I wanted it to be good, but it's not.
Now,
Low G Man's really bad.
Oh, that's not... It's okay. That's not really good. Bad. It's not good.
Go ahead, Jason.
How long are you playing these for? Because I've gotten to a point with my games where I used to, even if a game was like crap, I used to go, you know what? I'm going to push through this and try to beat it.
I give it a solid 30 minutes, unless if it's like a sports game.
All right.
Because then there's really no need. Because once you play like the first inning of the baseball game, you know exactly how the game's going to be played.
Yeah,
there's not really. But then again, I'm happy I'm doing this because I'm rediscovering games that I may only put like 3 minutes in, and I am now discovering that like one game in particular, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Mm. Never would have expected this game to be any good. It's actually very interesting.
Nice.
Like, there's a lot of very interesting mechanics to it. Like, you've got, like, the RPG aspects of having to, you know, bring up a subtext menu and searching for things, taking things, moving inventory around. I don't want to say it's an intriguing fighting system because I still haven't figured it out yet, but it appears to be kind of interesting. It appears to be something that is, you know... hard to master, and so I'm willing to give it some more try. Like, dialogue's pretty good. I mean, granted, it's going for the Robin Hood story, so I mean, how could you muck that up? You know what I mean? Yeah. Unless if it's like the Disney movie where he plays a fox.
Well, that movie's awesome. You can take that back.
But why a fox? Why a fox?
He's sneaky.
Robin Hood,
like Robin
Little
Hood.
John running through the forest. Ooh-lally, ooh-lally, golly, what a day. Bailey knows. Lolly golly, what a day.
You know what? I'm just going to stop listening to Hunter, and I'm just going to load up the song and just listen to that instead.
There you go. But no, no. So Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
What the other had to say.
Sitting down and playing that game more. And I'm done.
Cool.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's also one of those games that has the most daunting character selection. Like when you, it's like, are these traits even important? Like, why would I? It's funny.
Yeah, like another game I tried playing was like Swords and Serpents.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, how many players are playing? Two, one, two, or four? I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. One, two, or four? But then once you get into the game, you're like, oh, okay, because there's four people into the party. So, you know, either, you know, it's one player using four or two playing two or four playing, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's like those.
All right. Didn't know this was hippie hour.
I love you, Jason.
That's terrible.
We don't do anything on this podcast but talk about old video games. And occasionally sing along to classic animated Disney films.
Yes.
That's all we do.
There you go.
But yeah, Hunter, it's like the games that came out every once in a while in the 90s that were one, two, or three players. Like, you had to have the four-player adapter to play three players. You absolutely could not play four players.
No.
There were a few games like that.
Iron Man's. Is it Iron? No, it's Iron. What's his name? Ivan something Off-Road?
Racing? Yep. Ivan Stewart Super Off-Road. Or Ivan Iron
Stewart.
Man Stewart.
Ivan
Wait
Stewart.
A second. Is it Ivan? Is it really Ivan?
Was he Iron Man?
It's Iron Man.
Yeah, it's Ivan.
Off-road race. Off-road? Super Off-Road. Is it Ivan? I just never thought of him having a Viking name, you know?
Iron Man Stewart. Yeah. Ivan Stewart, Iron Man, Super Off-Road.
Because he's an American monster truck driver. Yeah, it's totally Ivan Iron Man Stewart's Super Off... Ivan Iron Man. That's like the most Vikingest name ever until you hit the Stewart.
Yeah, and then you have to say it like Ivan Iron Man
Stewart.
Off-road racing.
Ivan Iron Man Stewart.
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 Stewart. Bailey, what have you been playing?
I was in a mood for... That's one way to put it. I was in a mood to play some like old school, like arcade style games, like not just NES, like I always play, but like some like arcade ports, like all time classic games, like games that are from the 70s or older than I am. So I played a couple of them. I played Millipede, and I played Joust. For those who don't know, I mean, Millipede is a shoot 'em up. It's a static screen. Nothing moves. There's like mushrooms. You shoot at stuff that falls and flits and flickers across the screen. I suck at it. My excuse is that the arcade cabinet was vertically oriented, so it was taller than it was wide. And for this style of game, like Galaga, it makes sense. You're shooting upward in it. It's this cool effect at the arcade, you know. But televisions are, you know, horizontally oriented, so... There's games when they port to the NES that are vertically scrolling through. You can kind of tell. And some people really like this game. I tend to dislike games if I suck at them. Call me shallow, but that's how I roll. But I'm better at Joust. Now, Joust, for anyone unfamiliar, is a game where you're a knight who rides an ostrich. But the ostrich can fly, and you duel other ostrich knights by trying to hit them head-to-head at a higher altitude. If you're the up man in this equation, they die, and you have to collect their egg before it hatches. It's Joust on the NES. It's a lot of fun. I got to, like, level 8 before I lost my last life. I've gotten into double digits before. Like, I'm not super good at it, but it's one of those games that it's so much fun, I would like to get better. But it just, I haven't learned, like, the little tricks yet, but it does get difficult, because there's that, like, almost completely invincible pterodactyl that screams across the screen, and those the reachy stuff in the lava pit. It's just, yeah, it's treacherous.
Yeah.
But very fun, and it is two-player compatible as well, a simultaneous two-player action. So it's a solid two-player game, because you can play cooperatively or competitively, depending on how you want to play. Do you want to go kill the other person? Do you want to make it about who can get the higher score? Go for it. Or do you want to see how far you can get? It's one of those beautiful games where you decide the expression of your experience, really. So I dig it.
It's one of the many games that were developed while the makers were on drugs. Let's put knights on the back of ostriches. And let's let them fly.
Holy crap.
I love the
millions.
And they did. That's the weird part.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Holy crap, it worked. have you guys ever played the Atari 2600 version?
Yeah.
Also fun, but you can't tell what you are.
No, you have no
just
idea.
This one color
no, you're
blob.
Just a shape.
It's like these tiny little stick legs.
Yeah. Still fun, though. If anyone out there has ever played Balloon Fight, it's basically like more medieval Balloon Fight.
I kind of. Yeah.
Not.
It's the fantasy version.
I'm
pretty sure Joust was included in some weird PC package I had as a kid as well. Like, they ported that to everything.
Oh, yeah. And they still are. They're still porting it to practically everything.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I don't want to play Joust. It's made Dethrone Quake.
I want to play Joust. Wow. Hey, man, I would even take Joust over Quake. If I had a stand-up arcade machine with Joust on it, I'd... Yeah.
Yeah, Joust. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we found a game we all agree on.
Mega Bomber Man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys ever beat me at Mega Bomber Man? Jason won a game.
Yeah, I think I won like a game out of 50.
Yeah.
Thousands.
We played a lot of Mega Bomber Man.
A lot of Mega Bomber Man.
Yes, we did.
Indie PopCon. Shout out there. You can follow them at Indie PopCon. They're a pop culture and geek convention in Indianapolis every year. So that's old video games. Next segment is listener email discussion question, in which we tackle a listener email discussion question. You can email us your question at podcast@onemorecastle.com. So I'm just going to open up the old inbox here. Oh my gosh, we are out of questions, guys!
What?
We were doing so well.
Let us down, people.
We had a chunky... People email us in spurts. Like, I'm glad they're still responding. Like, we ask for it, and they give it to us. But if we don't ask, it's just like crickets.
Man.
But, yeah, we had a bunch, but we're down to nothing. So, seriously, just email us a freaking question. It's like a fourth of our whole show is depending on, like, audience-generated content. We kind of rely on it. So again, the email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's number onemorecastle.com. Doesn't have to be like a great question. Just even if it's tangentially, I can't even say the word, related to old video games. Like, just, I don't know, like, you know, just ask us a question. We'll answer it. Like, we're willing to answer your questions. Like, who wouldn't take advantage of that, you know? So what we do when we don't have a listener email discussion question is we play Crazy Game Idea.
Are y'all ready to have some fun with Crazy Game Idea?
The source of such classics as, what was the Spoonie? What was it, Jason, you created one day?
Spoonie Bats?
Spoonie
Bats, that's right.
Spoonie Bats! This game has been the source of such classic ideas as Spoonie Bats and, I believe, the Dennis Hopper Assistant Simulator.
Yes.
So tonight,
Back when he said he was still alive.
Not to forget. What was the, nuts. Which one was it? The, some guy had kidney stones.
That's the one I did. I don't even remember. Yeah.
Oh, man. That was fun. That was a good one.
Yeah. We play this game so rarely. I think we've only all played once because we've circled all the way back around. Jason's turn. So how this works is really stupid, really simple. Did I say stupid? Yes, I did. Me and Hunter are just going to like say the first thing, the first concept, idea, person, place, item that pops into our head. Jason has a non-determinate amount of time to think about it and then tell us what game is going to incorporate those two ideas somehow together. So, mm-hmm. Hunter, mm-hmm. say something.
Seamstress.
And
seamstress.
First thing,
all right.
First thing that came to my mind was wizard. So, Jason, your game.
Ooh, interesting.
Seamstress wizard.
A seamstress wizard?
I'm going to give you only 8 seconds because this should be really easy to come
all right.
Something.
Seamstress wizard.
You have 8 seconds to think about it. Four,
all right.
Percent,
start counting. Concept.
Four.
Six, all right. I got it.
Hit us.
All right. Right in the face.
Okay, so seamstress wizard 3.
Ooh. Oh wow, this is the pinnacle. Whoa. This is the pinnacle of the yeah. series. This is when
this
shit
is
goes
the
down.
Seamstress Wizard 3 subtitled The Sun Rises. While right. you originally took care or played in the first two games as you know, a seamster of sorts, you know, whose family and livelihood was destroyed by this evil, malevolent seamstress wizard who didn't actually have to work to produce goods, thus throwing society out of balance. In the climax of Seamstress Wizard 2, your character dies.
Spoilers, by the way.
So in Seamstress Wizard 3, The Sun Rises, you play as the sun, and you must avenge your father.
Oh, I did not see that coming. I was like, it's daytime? Is that it? It's daytime?
So in this...
Wow.
In this tactical RPG that relies heavily on crafting, you must collect goods on your quest, which enable you to craft the living army around you through your seeming powers. That's right, your army is made up of whatever you can design, whatever you can build. So you must fight your way through the kingdom. Take down the seamstress wizard, both for your father's name and your family's name. That's Seamstress Wizard 3, The Sun Rises.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I would play that game.
Yep.
I would play that
game. Let's kickstart that.
Let's kickstart all of them. let's just get it done. Let's just quit messing around.
Yeah, let's just see. Let's do a multi-pack.
This is gold that we're just giving away. It's a 10-year deal. 10 years for 10 games in 10 years. That's how we run it.
Man.
For $10.
Per game.
Per year.
Per year. Subscription.
If you play us,
I'll just make it per month.
Then. If you pay us $10 a year for 10 years, we'll give you a game eventually.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
And that's crazy game idea.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm always impressed by you guys and your creativity. Great job, Jason.
You got me twice. You got me with The Sun Rises. You got me with that one.
You got me with
that. That was a good one.
The moment you said tactical. And I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming next. I knew it, but you still gave the dramatic pause. Tactical RPG.
Damn.
We should probably just skip the first and second one, just go straight for the third one.
You should. Just release it. Just yeah. The third one.
If anyone from you know, Square Enix or hell, even EA is listening right now.
You mean Square Seamstrix?
Yes.
I don't know. Wow. That's cool.
Hell, we could make it PG enough to be a Nintendo title. It'll be part of that Yarn series they've got.
Yeah, and we will find an innovative way to use that effing gamepad.
Yes.
That's why you want this title.
Seamstress Wizard 3.
The sun rises.
The sun rises. A tactical.
That's good. That's
RPG.
Tactical.
Impress your friends.
Ivan Iron Man Stewart.
Stewart.
Music break. Are Good Moles by 8-Bit Phil. Wow, I can't read. 8-Bit Philharmonic. That's a Super Mario RPG remix from the Mole Mountain portion of the game. It is a track off the Heavy Troopa is Ready to Launch Disc 1 collection.
Oh, no.
Good stuff. I would recommend Super Mario RPG. Can't get enough of that music from Super Mario RPG. Speaking of stuff I can't get enough of, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is a part of our show. It's pretty much the best part, really. Let's be honest, it's the best part. It's the only reason anyone cares about the podcast. It's the best. Each of us has secretly chosen an old video game, usually fitting a theme. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. The best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com, and the loser of that poll dies. It's life or death. It's that important.
When do the rules change?
Just now.
Oh, damn.
Just now. I just thought of it. Found it very amusing. Thought I'd throw it in this week. So, the stakes have been raised. 2 weeks ago, the theme was games with bowling in them somewhere, but that aren't actually bowling games. You can tell how long we've been doing this and how nuanced we have to be. And the winner was... Bailey! Oh my gosh, that's me with Simpsons Arcade. beating out Hunter's Mad Dog McCree and Jason's Tekken Tag piece of crap. It wasn't like a thunderous landslide victory. Like, I didn't double your guys' votes or anything, but I did clearly win. So that's pretty cool. I look forward to really building some momentum and getting a good long streak going. So tonight the theme is essential liquids, also known as games in which liquid is important somehow, or a liquid item, or a type of liquid. Again, we're getting super specific. I like the challenge of figuring out how to fit the theme. I think it's really creative. This is a good one. Essential liquids. Essential. That's our theme. So traditionally, Jason's a timekeeper, and usually I go first. Do we want to keep that where I go first? Do we want to do that?
Oh, we do.
It's been 2.5 years.
What? This is 125. We're keeping this.
Okay.
Are you ready?
We broke it once. We'll never do it again.
Nope. You know, honestly, I'm not sure if I'm ready, but I'm as ready as I'm going to get. I'll put
Perfect.
It that way. I don't,
All right.
Whatever.
You may begin.
So, I was trying to think of, like, you know, important liquid games. And I started by looking at libraries by console. So I thought, well, I do the NES too much. I look at the Super Nintendo. So I look at all the games. I'm like, well, my brain doesn't work this way. I can't look up by game title whether it has important liquids. I haven't played most of the games in the library anyway. So then I took a different strategy. I thought, what are some liquids that are important? And then I can, from there, think of games that incorporate them. I thought of one. I was actually driving on my way home from work, and I had to fill up on gas. So gasoline, well, that's an important liquid. So I was browsing some, you know, driving, racing kind of games. And the one I picked was Hard Drivin' for the Sega Genesis, 1991. The arcade original was one of those cool early polygon games.
5 seconds.
Genesis game, piece of crap. It's
and
really
time. All right. He was honest. Like that?
It is really bad.
It's all right. I brought a crap game too. But Hunter.
I didn't know. Hey. I thought it was.
Are you ready?
Yep.
You may begin.
There is a man that hides in the shadows, an anti-hero of sorts, the mind and body of a man whose face was dipped in acid, hands ripped through machinery, ultimately disfiguring him for the rest of his life. Born from this incident was revenge. Revenge for the man and his gang who have made him the way he is. With the help of the latest technology to create digitized masks, our superhero has the ability to create a lifelike copy of another man's face. With this ability, he can take down those who have wronged him, but he only has 99 minutes before the mask breaks away. A time limit signified by the bouncing of a drinking bird. Created from the mind of Sam Raimi, it's Darkman for the NES.
All right.
Not the most terrible game in the world.
Nice. It's really not. It's actually surprisingly decent. Some of the precision jumping bits are really frustrating, but some people are...
Jason, go!
All right, I guess I'll begin.
Bring your
Back
shitty TIE Fighter game.
In TIE Fighter, you have to save the water supplies in the transport.
Wait, that's not TIE Fighter!
All right, I guess... All right, back in 2003, a lovely little company called Lucky Chicken Games decided, you know what? It's time to branch out from these Game Boy games we're making. We'll make a full-blown GameCube game. You know what? We're going to make a superhero one, because we're going to get a license. Because DC is just like, yeah, give us money and we'll let you do this. And then they decided, you know what? What other games have been out? And they're like, Superman for the N64. We should make something just like that. And I know, we'll make it with Aquaman, because he's the best. And then we'll throw in a bunch of invisible walls will only record one music track. You'll just have to press A for 14 hours as you play the game, as you fight the same enemies again and again. Atlantis is just a bunch of old freaking empty towers. There's no one in Atlantis, but you gotta save it. You can call some sharks. We'll add some timers, some life bars. You gotta stop buildings from blowing up because bombs are on them. But you can blow up the bombs by throwing the bombs at the buildings, not destroying the buildings, even though the bombs are on the buildings. It's Aquaman, Battle for Atlantis for the GameCube. It's a jam.
It is indeed a jam. Yeah, wow. Jeez. Man.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Woo. Man. If there is any justice left on Earth, Hunter will win this week.
It would seem for that justice he would need a leak.
Ooh. I will say about Atlantis or Aquaman Battle for Atlantis has probably the best hair in water animation I have ever seen in a video game. It is impressive.
It is, especially for the GameCube. Like, that's where the budget
What's
went.
What's that supposed to mean? The GameCube has pretty good graphics. Into the hair. Dude.
I know, but it looks better than, like, even some modern games. Like, underwater hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely took the time.
Yeah, especially if you look back at the era, a lot of people, like, PlayStation 2 brought in the whole, you know what? Everyone's going to be bald. All the heroes are going to be bald. Because we don't want to figure out hair.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's... For the NES, that's why so many of the main protagonists had hats.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to animate the hair.
Yep.
So.
You know what? So,
yeah.
From now on, my Jason Lamb impression is going to incorporate. You know what?
You know what? That's a good impression.
That is a good one. I almost thought it was you, Jason.
I almost thought I was him.
Whoa.
Is Aquaman supposed to be Superman underwater? Is that the general
idea? No, no, no. Awkward Man is just super awkward. He's not, like, special in any way. He doesn't have superpowers. He's just awkward.
It's awkward.
He lives underwater.
Mm.
It's weird. It's like SpongeFish, you know?
It is pretty impressive that they were able to port the Superman 64 engine over to the GameCube without the GameCube spontaneously combusting.
It's a hideous game.
Yeah. Because I think even the draw distance is the same.
It's like 2 feet. Yeah. Somehow it's really foggy in Atlantis underwater.
That's right. It's, just,
and, okay,
it's pollution, Jason. It's pollution.
I want to clarify for our audience right now. When Jason says that the draw distance for this Aquaman game is 2 feet, you have to remember, he's from Canada. They use the metric system. He doesn't mean 2 feet, like 24 inches. He means it's literally, there's just 2 feet in front of you at all times.
Well, that's what feet are, right? I just take the size of my foot.
Yep. The draw distance is there it is.
There it is.
Half the draw distance of the game right there.
There you go.
Awkward man game.
Yeah.
Awkward
man. Come on, he's got a hook for a hand in this one. Because they're like, make him Captain Hook, because...
We got to make Aquaman cool.
Yeah, so let's cut off his hand and give him a mullet.
It is kind of weird that... I could go anywhere. Never mind.
No, DC I think comics. Was created because they saw the snorkels. If you ever saw the old cartoons, the snorkels, it was basically Smurfs underwater. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They're like, it worked for the snorkels. We can easily do this with a Superman underwater.
What the hell are the snorkels?
You don't know what the snorkels are?
No.
Oh, the snorkels are the best.
Hunter, okay, what year are the snorkels from?
Hunter, nobody knows what you're talking about right now.
Nobody knows what the snorkels are?
No.
Hunter, I need you to listen to me sincerely right now.
The snorks.
You would stare at the television. There would just be static on the screen. And you would think you were watching something called the snorkels. It was a coping mechanism you had for some trauma going on in your life. I don't even want to get into, but nobody knows anything about what you're talking about right now.
Okay, so no it's the snorks. I made a mistake.
Oh, the snorks! I still don't.
Yeah, sorry. That was my mistake.
Yeah, no idea what that is. Snorkels makes more sense to me. It sounds like a cartoon.
Yeah, I guess
they're a stupid
person. Can we, should we talk about hard driving?
please don't.
Do we have to?
It's so bad. Oh. Like, you know how...
What else was out, though?
Okay, it's worse than Rad Racer. And Rad Racer came out 6 years earlier on the previous generation.
Yeah, but this wasn't meant to be Rad Racer. This was trying to create a 3D effect on a 16-bit console. So what other games were out at the time?
That did that?
This
done,
thing says
done.
You're going 100 miles an hour. That's
I'll
fast.
Give it this. It still looks better than Aquaman.
I don't know, man.
It's definitely easier on the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, here. If I'm supposed
that hair,
to sway
man.
People to vote for Hard Drive, and I will say this. It has a stunt course stage level place with a loop-de-loop you can do in the car.
Yeah.
That's something you can't do in most games. A loop-de-loop in a car. Okay. Whatever you say, Hard Driving.
I don't even think the physics available on Earth this makes it possible.
Yeah,
Replay, that was a neat feature.
But why would you want instant replay of something so repugnant?
There was no Destruction Derby. There was no Ridge Racer. There was none of those let's beat the car up.
Did you just say Destruction Derby?
Yeah.
Because I say Destruction Derby, and people make fun of me. They're like, Eric, it's Demolition Derby. And I'm like, I like the sound of
Destruction
Derby?
Derby.
Yeah. Apparently, it's actually Demolition Derby, but I've always
destruction
said
Destruction
Derby. Right? Hunter, you're kindred spirit right now. I am depending on you for my emotional support. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, Destruction Derby. What game are you talking about?
No, not game. Just like the concept of a Demolition Derby.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the game.
You only use that when referring to the game. Okay, never mind.
I mean, Demolition Derby... No, I like Destruction Derby. I mean, I'm still with you. Yeah. We can still be kindred spirits.
Okay.
You can be my hetero life mate. I'm all right with that. I thought we were just... I was just talking about the video game.
I wasn't.
Awkward.
Awkward man! That's Jason. But yeah, Hard Driving is what happens when you take polygons and you're so eager to try and cram it onto hardware that doesn't quite work on it. It looks very bland and lifeless, and the sounds are bad and also lifeless.
Oof. Yes, it's a terrible game.
It's not fun. I don't know why I picked it. Is that either that or Castlevania for the Holy Water?
There you go.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
What's the Darkman? What's the water in there?
Yeah, let's
so
talk about
the water. Yeah, so Darkman is based off the popular movie, Darkman, created by Sam Raimi. Started out as a short comic. He couldn't get the rights for, like, The Shadow or any of those kind of anti-hero dark. There's a word for it, that type of superhero. I can't remember what the name of it is. But I thought it was like they put it in the same genre as, like, The Rocketeer and... Okay.
It's like a pulp hero?
Like a pulp superhero. Yeah. So it stars Liam Neeson. He is a scientist helping create a kind of synthetic skin for burn victims. He becomes one himself due to I think his name is Durant. Yeah, Durant. And his gang of minions. In Darkman.
And his gang.
Of minions. So in Darkman, you play as Darkman, which basically is a guy with a coat, a hat, and a bunch of bandages both on his face and hands. So as you're running through the sewers or, when you're up top on the street, you have the ability to transform yourself into another character. Now, you don't get any, like, special abilities. Like, one of the guys has, like, a baseball bat or, like, a billy club or something that you can use rather than just your feet and your hand. But it's a pretty interesting game. And the water signifies the drinking bird at the top of the screen, which if he hits the button, then you're dead, and basically there's an explosion. That's how they kind of linked it to the movie. Probably the best swishing a coat in the wind animation I have ever seen. I mean, he gets that coat, man. He gets it.
Should we call it Coat Man instead of Dark Man?
What's like a part of him? It's a piece
is the coat?
Of his body now. Like it's
that's a superpower.
Yes, having a coat like a windbreaker.
Yeah,
or a duster. I think it's supposed to be a duster.
They should bring back dusters. Dusters should be a thing.
They never went anywhere, Jason.
What have I been doing wrong?
That's to say it. Somebody's. It's. I'm sorry. Somebody should have told you. Somebody. We probably lost Bailey, didn't we?
I'm listening.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
I have nothing to add. I have nothing.
It's Dark Man.
It's a fun game.
Is it?
I enjoy playing it. Thought it was it's an interesting platformer. The fighting mechanics are a little cardboard boxy. If I could be so bold. But I thought the environments were neat. The level design was fun. Just going into there's a couple of spots where it's kind of like a cart level where you have to, it's like you're like on a platform and it's falling and you have to control it to go into certain directions like left or right to continue to fall, or you'll hit something and ultimately die. So like those are quick reflex kind of spots like that, always thought were fun. And I liked the movie as a kid. Like I thought I never really saw him as a superhero, because to me, superheroes were like Superman and Batman and Iron Man and apparently Aquaman, but now going back, it's like, no, that was like one of the really cool, like dark, like anti superhero movies that came out, you know, that are all the rage nowadays.
I need more grit.
And it's Liam Neeson. I mean, he's going.
Yeah, I forgot it was
going to play Qui-Gon Jinn. You know, it was in the stars. But that's no moon. It's a space station.
It's too big to be a space station.
Star Wars is coming out later this year.
Oh my god!
I am so excited. Oh my gosh. Can we just...
I can't wait.
I have this. He's supposed to be releasing another trailer in March, I think.
Oh, every week I ask him, are we still on for Midnight Showing? And he's like, yeah, stop asking me. But then last week he asked me, and I was like, yeah. Can we just be a Star Wars podcast?
God, I've got the perfect person to add to our repertoire if you want a Star Wars commentary.
Oh,
and this.
Who's that?
It's my buddy Ricky.
My buddy Ricky. This is going to be good.
His expertise on Star Wars surpasses mine. In terms of like the critically thinking about the movies, because I've in depth myself with like obviously the movies and the video games, but like I jumped heavily into like the comics and the actual novels. So like my history of Star Wars, I can go a lot further than he can, but he's had so much time and energy focused just on the six movies and a little bit of the Clone Wars cartoon. That it, like, some of the things that come out of his mouth, like, it's the brains all over the table.
I do enjoy a good discussion about stuff that came out way.
Oh, we could get Joe Walker, too.
See, part of that. Okay. I'm going to start calling him Mo-Mounted Don.
You should do that. I don't think he'll like it. But...
Well, that's too bad. The One More Podcast, where all we do is talk about old video games.
Talk about video games.
Video games.
Occasionally sing along to classic animated Disney films. And talk about Star Wars. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's all we ever do. But seriously, I brought a game I don't like. I'm never doing this. Remind me never to do this again, because I don't want to talk about it. I don't care if anyone votes for it. So why did I do this to myself?
I don't know. It's
pretty
horrific.
It's a stupid game. It'd be like if you picked an apple from its source, and you're like, I like apples, you know? But I don't like my apples to look or taste or sound as good as they're meant to.
So if it was called Crapple, you'd be okay with it?
So I'm going to find, like, you know, a lawnmower and turn the lawnmower on and push this apple through it and see if I can, you know, only cut off one or two fingers and eat like half chopped up old grass covered apple.
Yeah.
Hard driving lawnmowers.
In a nutshell.
Bring it all back. We say this like every 3 weeks. This is the worst showdown ever. This is stupid.
I don't know. It's just, I brought a good game. I don't know what's up with you guys.
I brought a great game.
Yo, no,
I brought a game that was supposed
Hunter,
to be the first of
not.
Many sequels.
Are you serious right now?
I'm serious.
Aquaman, Battle for
In October 2001, TDK no Media way. Active announced it had reached a long-term deal with DC Comics to produce video games based on the Aquaman character, starting with the newly released platforms of the sixth console generation.
Terrible.
So Aquaman Battle of Atlantis was the launching point for the world domination.
I amuse myself by thinking too much about human behavior and motivation sometimes. There had to have been at least one person on that development team, like some graphics guy or some sound effect guy, just someone who knew the game was bad and knew that there would never be sequels, but just kept his mouth shut. Like, he's sitting in meetings where everyone else is excited. TDK Games. He's sitting in meetings where everyone else is like, yeah, Aquaman, we're going to make two more games. How are we doing, everybody? Everybody get pumped. Get ready. We have another good day, another productive day. These guys are just like, I'm going to get laid off after this.
Aquaman.
It's not going to work.
There's no way I'm putting Aquaman Battle for Atlantis on my resume.
You're putting that hair tech on your resume.
Yeah, I was gonna say the
whoever
hair guy
coded
was
that,
the only
he got
one
a
who
job.
Was excited about it. Like, oh yeah, oh no, Tommy Tallarico was the composer on this game. Why? What's he must one? Have been hard up for cash.
Yeah. It's just the one song over and over.
That's all they could pay him for.
Yeah,
that was it. It was like, all right, Tommy. Love your work, man. You're at Naze. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, T2 for the Sega CD. Just mind-blowing stuff.
Color we've dinosaur.
We've got $3 and a bag of buttons. What can you do for us? Well, what's the game? It's Aquaman. No, just stop right there. Just that's fine. Let me just give me an afternoon, and I'll give you a track. So.
Cool. Sounds good to me.
Good. Good. Good job, guys. Way to bring the show down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pushing that quality.
Yeah, I should have brought Castlevania. Whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, it's not that much better than hard driving, but, you know, it's all right.
Wow, really? Ouch. Okay. Well, we will have that discussion another time. Yeah, for the showdown tonight, I went
no Master of Darkness.
When I should have went Iron Man.
Yeah, you should have. Stuart!
I'm going to use that binary throughout my life now. Am I having an Iron Man day or a Stewart day? That was a very Stewart thing to do. You should be.
That was a
Iron
very
Man.
Stewart thing to do. Ivan Iron Man never would have mentioned it. He just would have lived it.
You do have to say Ivan Iron Man. Otherwise, people think you're going to think about you're mentioning, you know, the Avengers or something. No, I mean like right. the guy who put his face on a video game that he never played. That guy. Ivan Iron Man.
I love Super Off-Road.
The Viking. No, it is a great game. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. So.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Just. I'm struggling to figure out what. I'm calling it. I don't want to talk about the game anymore. I don't want to talk
Good.
About.
Good.
All right.
So that's our showdown. Final arguments, Jason. Why should anyone vote for Awkward Man?
Awkward man, you can summon sharks sometimes, maybe a whale. You use a vehicle underwater, which makes no sense because you can swim really fast.
Can you really?
Yeah, there's vehicle levels.
What kind of vehicle is it?
It's like a spaceship underwater. You have to fight
God.
Other ships.
Good God.
Like submarines and stuff. I don't know, man. It's drugs. That's just press A. And you're done. 14 hours later, you're done. Talk
Jason,
to man.
You should talk more. You should talk more. Hunter, why should anyone vote for another something man?
You should. I mean, just the code in the wind. Just a code in the wind.
I brought Hard Driving. You should vote for it if you're one of those people who is always sarcastic to the point of annoying the people around you, but you still don't care enough about their annoyance to stop being sarcastic all the time. If you're that kind of person, you should vote for Hard Driving.
So you're going to vote for Hard Driving?
I'm not very sarcastic.
No.
Never. So, yeah, that's our showdown.
It was a good go, guys.
It was a go. I don't know if it was a good. It was a go.
We went as long as we could. Surprisingly,
last week's episode, way better, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's
I kind of like this one.
I don't know, man. Like, it's Seamstress Wizard 3.
Yeah,
okay, surprises. Okay. That was...
Last week was more consistent. This week did have highs and lows. I'm willing to entertain that. Definitely had some highs. Basically, tonight was all Jason.
It's true.
Before we get too self-referential and navel gazing, just want to remind everybody, we live stream at 7:30 p.m. Central Time Thursday evenings. We tweet the link from at One More Castle on Twitter. That's where tweets happen. Get on there. Otherwise, new episodes come out Monday mornings on onemorecastle.com. You can listen to it, you can watch it, however you want to digest your podcast of old video games. I also want to give a special shout out to those who showed up to the live stream tonight, especially those who commented, such as Dustin Faber, Valerie Minnick, Andrew Carrero, the troll Hiron Greeny, who came in just to insult us. That was cool. Mega Silver X, Damian Crenshaw. We had a few other people watching who didn't comment. I was told I should shout out commenters, you know, make them feel special to encourage commenting, but shouldn't we also shout people who bother just to watch and just are shy? Like, we shouldn't, you know, punish them for shyness. I don't know. I'll rethink that philosophy. The point is, thanks for watching tonight, guys. We appreciate it. If you want to be a part of our marketing team, retweet our stuff and we share it. You're hired. Yeah. We need listener email discussion questions. Email us podcast@onemorecastle.com. Jason, am I forgetting anything?
You forgot to tell them on how they can save on car insurance by switching to Geico.
How long does that take?
About 30 seconds.
No, I think it's
no?
15 30. Minutes.
Thank you, Hunter. Thank you for actually picking up the reference there. Jeez. Oh, this is turning into, like, the wreck that the train wreck runs into.
Afterwards.
Yeah. This is fantastic, Hunter, guys. Just deal with it.
I am definitely just enjoying the waft of what's going on here. Hunter, do you have any shout-outs, recommendations, plugs, reminders?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. For all things me, check out ericmhunter.net.
As for me, you already follow me on Twitter, so thanks.
More than
last, but not least, remember, audience, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Huh. See you next week.